Janae, Angola Jr., the podcast.
Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests have joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Myra Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, who's filling in for Chinne Agwumike today. We got plenty to get to here. Training camps, Reggie Bush's Heisman. I can't believe in all of this, as we've got Myra Metcalf here, who we talked to. Milwaukee Bucks fan, excited about their championship from this year. We have had, really, a lot of back and forth between him and our very Philadelphia show staff today. We've got Cliff and Billy producing again with us today, both noted Philly stands in here, and we have not once managed to get into what would, I imagine, be a celebration for these guys. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, that the Sixers continue to canvass the league for Ben Simmons' trade, and that everyone seems aligned on get him out of Philly right now. Like, Myron, I am stunned that it has taken them this long to try and bully this onto air.
Yeah, I thought there'd be more. I thought they would have wanted that in the first segment, considering that apparently trading Ben Simmons is the key to winning a championship, I guess, for the Sixers. This will do it.
Is this going to be a good John, bad John, them getting rid of Ben Simmons and opening up the road for your guys' championship run, Cliff?
First of all, Myron's not from Milwaukee. He just became from Milwaukee, was an NBA playoff starter. And second of all, I need to see what the actual return is until I give this some momentum here.
Until I fully start caring.
Listen, you speak a language called jealousy, Cliff, and it's okay. I understand. I was once like you and your colleagues, Sixers fans, but there's a brighter future ahead, maybe. Tobias Harris will lead you there. Don't worry.
Myron just hates Doc Rivers, though. So he has a vendetta against Doc Rivers, so, like, his views are tainted.
Wow. Listen. Nothing. I can't even hear you. I don't talk to people in second place usually. So I don't really know what we're talking about.
You know what? Me and talking, though, can't really be in the same sentence at this point here, because before we get to Aaron Rodgers and how articulate he was in his press conference here, and the one revelation in all of this that I feel like has gone under talked about throughout the course of the day, we get the hard outs at the end of every hour here on this show, meaning I am going to run into a commercial if I don't stop talking. And so on the fly, I'm trying to make sure that we get a clever dismount and a nice tease and all these industry things. So you want to stick around and give us five more minutes of your time. And occasionally, it ends up coming out like this. We'll tell you that next here. Chinne Agwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Mutt. Plus? I can't tell if it was much.
Was it mud?
Mutt?
I think it was mutt. Mutt is what
Cliff,
she said.
Can we run that back one more time? We'll tell you that next here. Chinne Agwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Mud. Plus?
Is it ESPN Mud?
ESPN Mud.
It had to be Mud.
By the way, yeah. ESPN Mud sounds like the perfect home for me. Like a true mudder. That is where I believe. This is like the worst version, by the way, of listening to your voice on the answering machine is me having to hear back my idiot mouth.
How about, is this when you get the Bronco and just go off-road into ESPN Mud? Like, that's all we're going to have here?
Oh, yeah.
This highlights you just off-roading the whole
ESPN in a mud bath.
By the way, Myron, just in case you were under the guise that this is one of the only times that this has happened, no. Coming up next, though, we'll look ahead to find out what's going to happen with Thursday Night Football in light of some recent COVID. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter.
He can't muster that up. Oh, my God. He can't muster that up. Oh, my God.
Three
Been
separate.
There many times. Yeah, I understand.
It's not great all the time around here. Thankfully, we did have someone speak a little clearer today when they talked to the media here. Chinne Agwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf. So Aaron Rodgers took to the podium today, Myron, and said a lot about his past with the Packers, about his future with the Packers. But I thought one of the interesting things that also got sprinkled in there was something we had heard floated. Would Aaron Rodgers actually go the Carson Palmer route, actually retire? Here was the Packers star quarterback talking about if he really did think about retirement during this volatile offseason.
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. You know, I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the offseason away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness and things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play. and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
And Myron, we know Aaron Rodgers this offseason, a lot changed for him personally. Shailene Woodley, his now fiance and notable actress, was someone that we were all introduced to publicly by Aaron Rodgers over the course of last year. But does any of that register on the Richter scale for you of a player talking openly about retirement?
It does for me. I mean, is it fair to wonder how dialed in he is right now? I understand that he can be one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he already is that. First ballot Hall of Famer. If he retired right now, he would already have achieved so much. But when I hear a guy talking about his beef with the front office, thinking about retirement, all of these questions about how the organization had treated players in the past, like my question, Mike, is, okay, where are you at right now, Aaron Rodgers? Are you truly focused on the season ahead? Have you actually put all of this stuff to the side and now you're ready to go back out there and compete? When I hear a guy who says, you know what, I thought about retiring, but then I came back because I'm so competitive, and then I hear a press conference like this, I think a lot of Packers fans are probably saying, how focused is Aaron Rodgers, especially with the report that, you know what, after this year, he's probably going to demand a trade. So all of those things make me question if he really is here 100% at this point.
It sounds like a little bit of Bachelor. Is he here for the right reasons? But yes. Myron, I could say that a ticked off Aaron Rodgers might actually be the best version of Aaron Rodgers, that he seems like a guy that when motivated and a little angry at the surroundings could work out better here. But you're right. I mean, the stock line with players always is if you're thinking about retirement, you're kind of already retired. But I think with this generation of quarterbacks, where we've seen Tom Brady have to address this almost every year and become better at talking about it, I think these guys are in a bit of a different spot, especially with the position that they play in all of this. But I think as far as his issues with the front office, sitting where we are now, we've heard the things that he's complained about. Is it fair to say, Myron, that this is just as much about the how as it is the what? Because I look at a lot of the moves the Packers front office made. Brian Gutekunst, their GM, in a team that used to be raked over the coals for never doing anything during free agency, never making a lot of moves to help bolster this team, that finally seems to have done that at some turns here, put together a pretty darn good roster, and just not go about it in a way that is defensible when you know this is how your star player was wired. Like, I think ultimately, yes, the people that have pointed out the good job the Packers have done at constructing a team are right, but how they went about that, knowing your teammate, knowing your buddy in this and Aaron Rodgers, feels like the place where they erred that can ultimately lead to a season where he's probably going to be playing trying to stick it to those guys and not trying to win it for the organization.
Yeah, and I think the most frustrating part, to your point, Mike, is it just seemed like such an easy fix, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers wanted some control, wanted some power, but I think more than anything, he wanted to be told about what they were going to do when it came to Jordan Love. I mean, this is a guy who's obviously playing at an MVP level and feels like he should get more weapons. Every quarterback feels that way. But to be viewed as a new front office that kind of did something that was a little bit slick, I think that's the thing that rubbed Aaron Rodgers the wrong way, and that's what they're still paying for, how they went about some of these decisions without letting their star quarterback know. And he will play angry, and he will play with this attitude of, I'll show you. But when I hear a guy talking about retirement, who's been all over the place this offseason, I do wonder, is he really here 100%, or is this a guy thinking, I don't know how much more I have left?
Well, according to Randall Cobb's Twitter account and all the reports we've seen today, it seems like he might get one of the guys back that he mentioned there. So maybe that's exactly what Aaron needs at this point. It was always going to be Randall Cobb in this one, Myron.
That's who we wanted, man. Now I guess he wants to grab some other guys, too. We'll see what he gets.
We'll see what he can manage to pull off there. Coming up now, what do we got here, Cliff? What happened
now? Look up now. Chinay Gold Jr. exclusively on ESPN Mud. Look at E+.
Well, I do have to say here, we have another entrant to the party here. At Pilot Jim Jones tweeted in, he heard ESPN muck. So we've got that added to the party now. I didn't hear it that way here. I think this guy's got Pokemon on the brain.
I'm sorry, he's absolutely wrong. There's no way you said muck. Listen again.
Definitely we'll tell you that next here. Chinay Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Mud. Plus?
I think it's muck.
I don't know.
This feels very much like the what color dress are we looking at situation here. So we'll try and figure that out in the break and figure out what the next step is as we look at a world of athletes who are now looking to change the conversations we have around their bodies here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Myron Metcalf. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we'll get to more news from Tokyo as Simone Biles has withdrawn from the individual all-around event. And here's some former Olympians kind of take us inside, I think, a world that not enough people are admitting they don't really know all that much about. But before we get to that, Tony Kornheiser making waves today here. So much Aaron Rodgers response here. Tony Kornheiser of PTI fame, I believe, was co-hosting with Pablo Torre from the ESPN Daily today. Talked about Aaron Rodgers' press conference performance a little bit earlier.
I'm going to concentrate right now on what a wow it was to see Aaron yes. Rodgers and hear Aaron Rodgers say these things. I did not expect this at all. I thought he would be typically coy and mysterious and hazy and sort of superior, and he was not. And I took notes on this. Okay, he was specific, he was angry, he was methodical. And Pablo, this was the pain of years. This wasn't just, as he said, a draft day decision a couple of years ago. I mean, he sat there and he said, I'm quoting now, Green Bay is not a vacation spot. People are coming here to play with me. And he said, I offered to help recruit them, and the Packers didn't want any part of this. He listed these guys name by name by name that he mm-hmm. thought the Packers dealt with in a shabby manner. And he knew as he was doing this that he was speaking directly to the coach and the general manager and the president of that team. And he made it very clear he hated them. And I have to tell you, Pablo, and thank you for saying this, as someone myself driven by spite and anger my whole life, I thought he was a working class hero, and I wanted to sit there and applaud. I did.
Aaron Rodgers, a working class hero. I'm not sure those are words that I ever heard out in the public discourse before, Myron, but it was definitely a wow moment from Aaron Rodgers, there's no doubt.
It was a wild moment, and I think if there are any Packers fans on the fence, if there was really any real division like Mark Murphy described, I think Aaron Rodgers earned a lot of fans back on his side after the way he talked about the front office today.
Yeah, it certainly did there. Made it an anytime you get a him versus management and people can start to side with the players, you know you must have made some sort of impact with your words here. So Aaron Rodgers certainly setting a tone there, and it's one of those instances where someone said to me one time, if you feel like you're being cheated on all the time, it doesn't matter if you actually are. That feeling is already going to sow the division here. And Aaron Rodgers, even if he may not have been wronged as specifically as he claims, if he's feeling that way, Green Bay, you've done something wrong in this situation that you got to remedy. Now, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And Myron, we heard and started to hear from more and more Olympians, more and more gymnasts as yesterday went on, about what Simone Biles was going through here, withdrawing from first the team Olympic gymnast competition, now removing herself from the individual all around, saying she's got to get herself in a better headspace. Myron, do you think that's going to make more people believe that what she's going through was legitimate? Because it seemed like an awful lot of people were willing to ride on the side of she quit on her team yesterday, more than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter folks who think that she wasn't tough enough, I don't think this changes anything with them. But to me, it does show that this was obviously a serious issue that she was dealing with. And this is Simone Biles. I think we have to trust her judgment in all of this. More than anything, I just hope her decision and the decisions of athletes like her from her generation prove that you don't always have to keep playing through whatever you're dealing with, that it's okay to say, you know what, I'm not okay. And a past generation didn't do that. So all these people are saying, oh, was she tough enough? We didn't know about a lot of these athletes that we celebrated growing up. We didn't know about their struggles until after their careers were over. So I commend anyone who, in the middle of this, at the highest level, on the biggest stage in her sports, saying, listen, I'm not going to go forward because I don't think I can help my team because of what I'm dealing with. She should be commended and praised for that. And everyone else who says otherwise, I don't know what their problem is.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of people twofold here. One, learning about some of the different aspects of the sport, right? We've heard about the twisties described by other gymnasts here, that loss of coordination in air when you're doing the kind of spins akin to the yips that we've seen in other sports, and how that mental block can lead to injury, has for so many gymnasts that I saw pile on social media. But the other part of it is just that. It's the different stressors that these athletes are under. And as a result, the different boundaries they're going to start to draw around their bodies and their access. We've seen this with Naomi Osaka, but Amanda Beard, 7-time Olympic medalist as a swimmer, was on Spain and Fitz last night and talked about the effect that all of this outlying social media, the environment now, has on a lot of these young athletes.
I remember struggling, I'd open up a newspaper and read something that was negative about me, but, you know, that'd be once a blue moon. This is a daily occurrence, you know, with social media being so accessible for people to reach out and say positive things and negative things. And unfortunately, the negative things are what really sticks with us. We totally brush off all that positivity and but that negativity just sticks with us. And it's too easy for people to spew that negativity. And I don't always, you know, you can disagree with anything that someone says or their beliefs, but that doesn't give you the right to be negative or treat them a different way.
Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Myron, I think even in Simone's case, because you could argue that she's been an athlete who's received probably as positively or close to universally positively as any that's out there. But that in itself is still a burden, this idea that everyone looks to you as a source of blank, whatever that might be, and they have a direct access line to tell you. That's still the through line on all this with Twitter for athletes, with Twitter for young people in general now who have grown up with this being the backdrop of their life. I mean, we're going to continue to find out the effects of that on normal people, let alone someone with the kind of stage and eyes on them that Simone Biles has.
Yeah, it only magnifies the pressure in a sport that demands perfection. I mean, Mike, I think the only person that can probably relate to Simone is Michael Phelps, literally carrying the weight of a nation on his shoulders going into the Olympics. And here's Simone Biles. She was the Olympics for America. She represented all of us. I can't imagine the pressure attached to that, adding in social media. All of that is a lot. And guess what? Unless you're Simone Biles, you can't possibly understand the pressure she faced.
I posit one more name, and I saw Jordan Cornett, our great hoops analyst over at the ACC Network, throw out LeBron James yesterday and say, seeing this should not make us use this comparison to slight Simone Biles or slight Michael Phelps, but only to say the fact that LeBron James has been able to, since he was a teenager, shoulder the expectations that he has both on and off the court and has thrived as much as he has should only underscore how amazing things like that are when we get it. Because where you get all this from, I saw the quotes from Michael Jordan coming around talking about how he felt like he would have struggled with some of this in this era. It's just a reminder that I know they get paid handsomely. I know there's a lot of reward that comes with it, but they're still human beings on the other side, and these are some of the things in their lap.
Yeah, and I hope instances like this remind us that they are human beings and they should be treated as such.
Yep, and I mean, hell, it's a good reminder, I said, for myself in the way that we talk about athletes here and remembering to try and extend this grace to players that we maybe know a little less well or players whose faces are a little less visible in these conversations. Coming up next, though, we will get to a couple of visible star players here, one that could potentially be on the move and one that is looking to reclaim something that was taken from him long ago. That's next here, Chenangle Jr. on ESPN. ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf. And Myron, I just can't quit these opening day of training gay headlines going on here. It's unbelievable. Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers going out here, Myron. Again, this is day one stuff here, so it's not full pad on full pad violence kind of thing here. But listening to them talk about Najee Harris, their first round pick at running back, going in backs on backers, which is a drill that is like legendary in Mike Tomlin's training camps here, and getting the crowd all hype here. This is such a great way to get things started. My blood's boiling because I don't have to hit anyone.
Hey, listen, man, it makes us excited for what's ahead, you know? And this just also shows and reminds me how big football is when we just go all the way in, even on day one of training camp, man. I'm all in, man. I'm excited. Give me all of the day one news.
Every last bit here. By the way, if you missed any bit of this podcast, don't forget to download, subscribe, rate, and review Chenae and Golic Jr. wherever you get it. Or tune into the Chenae podcast hosted by our very own Chenae Igwumike, fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts starts with a G. And Myron, greatness is what we had in Reggie Bush. We were just saying, I don't know if there's better highlights ever of a player than Reggie Bush's highlights from his time at USC. We know he had made it very clear as the name, image, and likeness rules had changed, had gone back now to a point where college players could profit off of that in a way Reggie Bush would have done tremendously. He decided to come back out a while ago and ask for his Heisman. Apparently, the NCAA came out today and said they will not consider reversing penalties or previously vacated records from past years based on recent changes with NIL regulations in the last month, according to the NCAA. Myron, does that surprise you at all that they would miss what a lot of people looked at as an easy win?
No, this is just kind of what they do. But you would think with all the pressure on the NCAA right now and the fact that a lot of people are questioning whether or not they even should exist, you think they might want to do the right thing, at least in the eyes of the public, in a situation like this. But either way, it's not going to take away those Reggie Bush highlights. You might not give them back the Heisman, but we got YouTube and Reggie Bush, and I'm just glad we do.
Yeah, you can't take that away from us ever here. Now, it is worth noting, I am on the side of Reggie Bush deserves that Heisman, always had. It is real. You can't take those from us, like you just said. But it is worth noting that in this process, while the name, image, and likeness rules have changed, the things that Reggie Bush actually got in trouble for, I don't believe are much different now under these current sets of rules. So it's not like those specific things have changed all that much. But Myron, we know it's just our general attitude about the prospect of players getting things outside of just that education and an IOU for their services right now.
Yeah, and I think that if there's a parallel, it's that, okay, finally you're going to see guys, athletes, male and female, who can get what they're worth, right, according to the market. And we all know that whatever Reggie Bush got, he deserved it and more, right, based on his value to USC. So I think that's how a lot of people look at him in that whole situation there.
Yeah, so it's going to be a difficult uphill battle for Reggie in this one. We know this is a conversation that's going to come up darn near every time we talk about him and the Heisman. It feels like an off-season rite of passage here on Chenangle with Junior on ESPN. But we did bring this up earlier, Myron, switching gears to another star that we talked about wanting to potentially find his way out of his current situation. We do have the news reported by Adrian Wojnarowski about Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers here. He brought up earlier the Sixers continue to canvass the league for trades. Armed with a steep asking price, Simmons and his agent, Clutch CEO Rich Paul, are in step with a move elsewhere. Draft night is always an ideal vehicle for that deal, but talks could continue into the summer. Myron, we've seen some of these prices potentially floated for Ben Simmons. What do you think's realistic at this point for an asking price for a very talented player who certainly seemed to be off his game, especially mentally during this last playoff run?
Well, I think you're crazy if you think you're going to get like an all-star kind of player for Ben Simmons, just with all the struggles that we've seen in the past years. Maybe you get a first-round pick. I don't see how you get a bunch of them. Like, I don't see anyone mortgaging their future for Ben Simmons. Like, to me, where he ends up is a place that feels like not only could they use a Ben Simmons based on all the good things he does outside of his lack of scoring, but also sell tickets, can be a boost to a team that feels like they're sort of on the cusp of getting to the playoffs or maybe advancing in the title picture. But you're just not going to get a ton in return for him. So I think whatever they're asking for, they better be realistic, because I think Ben Simmons, there are some talents there, but in the modern game, he just doesn't fit with the way that he plays. So I'm interested to see what the actual trade for Ben Simmons really looks like.
Yeah, now it is worth noting, we just saw in the NBA Finals, you can win a title without a core player that has a consistent jump shot, right? Like, true. For all the great things that Giannis does, we know he's not stretching the floor in any meaningful way. That being said, with Ben Simmons, this seems to be just as much about, Myron, getting him to a place mentally where he feels better. Certainly, it seems like the situation's become untenable in Philadelphia. This asking price does seem like a way to kind of balance the scales after what was a disaster finish to the postseason for his value. Because I think before we saw that collapse against the Hawks where he's passing down open layups and drop step dunks, this is still a guy based on his trajectory and age that a lot of people would have bid on in a different way.
Yeah, and I think whoever takes him now, Mike, is going to say, you know what, we think he can improve in some of these areas. We think he's young enough where there's another phase in his game, and we'll gamble on him. It's just about how much do you want to gamble on Ben Simmons. Like, I just don't think you can give up some crazy package as if he were a superstar like a Kawhi or someone like that. You've got to be really careful about investing too much and getting a guy like Ben Simmons because of the clear weaknesses he has right now.
All right, we got the Philadelphia Board of Tourism behind the glass us here in studio here. Guys, what's the absolute bare minimum you got to get in return for Ben Simmons? Because I know you guys are just looking to get him out at this point. The full turn that's gone on in this studio after I was the one saying you guys should move heaven and earth to trade him for James Harden before the season and got shouted down by everyone around here for being so wrong about this one. So what do you guys need to get back? What's the bare minimum in return here?
Listen, I'm thinking like 5 first-round picks, a Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard type of player. Boy. I think that sounds about fair, right, Billy?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I need at least Bradley Beal. I don't need CJ McCollum. I'm cool. They can have him. They can keep him in Portland. I need Dame for sure. Bradley Beal or Dame for sure.
All right, there we go. So realistic expectations abound in the city of brotherly love here. Damian Lillard or Brad Beal all seems
don't
like
forget about the picks.
Oh, yeah, and the picks. That's my fault there. And the picks, of course. So I'm sure we'll only see that asking price somehow go up over the course of the rest of the summer here for folks in Philly. But coming up next, Kyrie Irving, another name that we've been used to hearing in the news, has found himself with an interesting enemy off the court. We'll tell you who that is next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., our thanks to Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, hanging out with us today in for Janae Agumake, as well as Kevin Seifert, our ESPN NFL reporter, who stopped by to help us digest some of the, we'll say, feelings around the Green Bay Packers fans about Aaron Rodgers that even led to a beer being named in his honor, as well as Kimberly A. Martin, our ESPN NFL insider. If you missed either of them, make sure you head over, download, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get the Chiney and Golic Jr. podcast. All those guests joined us via the Goodyear hotline. But we got some interesting stories still to get to on this show here. Team USA finally showing up, a very upset Kyrie Irving, and Patrick Mahomes surrounded by even more money. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
All right, Myron, keeping that same energy, Team USA goes out and finally looks like what I think people expected. They beat Iran by 54 points for their first Olympic win. Is everything good now, or are we all less afraid here? Does this feel more normal?
Nah, I'm not there yet. I mean, they needed to get a win, needed to get some of their confidence back after losing to France, but clearly there's a more competitive road ahead. You know, I'm sure it probably felt good to get a dominant win like that. But they know that they got to go through some really elite teams in order to capture the gold medal. So I'm not convinced yet.
I'm wondering if we're starting to buy into any of the legitimate reasons about the roster makeup of this team, when and how they came together, the timeline of it all, as legitimate reasons for why this all might be happening, Myron.
Yeah, I mean, I think the construction of the roster, I think that's fair. But I think the reality is this is a team that just has to play better. The talent's there. And even if you say the rest of the world is catching up to us, they don't have 12 NBA stars. They might have 2 or 1. They don't have the talent we have. So we should be able to win this thing.
Keeping that same energy here on Chiney and Golic Jr., this was pretty interesting from Kyrie Irving earlier today here. The Brooklyn Nets superstars had some strong criticism for the latest version of his signature shoe with Nike. He said, quote, on his verified Instagram account, "I have nothing to do with the design or marketing of the upcoming Kyrie 8. These are trash. I have absolutely nothing to do with them. Nike plans to release it without my okay, regardless of what I say, so I apologize in advance." Myron, obviously this would be a terrible look for Nike if they were doing this without his consent in this area, but we know with Kyrie Irving, there are going to be a lot of people that I'm sure look at this skeptically from his side of things.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of "did you see what Kyrie said" moments. So I would love to hear the other side of this. It's hard for me to believe that Nike just created a shoe and slapped Kyrie's name on it without any input. So I don't know if that's completely accurate, but again, man, to go after Nike the way that he is that something that you can handle behind closed doors? Is that a conversation you can have with the people you know with Nike? I just don't know why you go public with something like this, but that's kind of the Kyrie way.
It is. I mean, we've talked a lot today about people who do not feel like their voice has been heard on the input in certain processes here. Hello, Aaron Rodgers here. But it always is interesting to think about how much input players do have into their signature shoes. We see a lot of the rollouts on this. I remember this when Giannis dropped his first signature shoe and talked about all the different elements that were having to do with his family, having to do with his heritage and background. And so, Myron, do we have a real clear understanding of how much these guys actually are involved in this?
I don't think we do, but I also can't recall another star tweeting that a shoe was released without any input, which makes me skeptical of the Kyrie version of this story.
That is true. So this is always the difficult part of all this, is it always tends to come up around him. And you either look at it and say, all right, maybe this is something wrong, or how many times can we hear someone cry wolf and still go out here to believe it? Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, keeping that same energy. Patrick Mahomes, who just never stops being linked to the money in any way, shape, or form. I believe him and his wife also now co-owners of the National Women's Soccer League team in Kansas City, in addition to part ownership of the Royals. Well, Patrick Mahomes now is also on the other side of that money. An autographed card, a Panini 2017 National Treasures 1-of-1 NFL Shield autographed card. Wow, that's a mouthful. Sold for $4.3 million, the most ever paid for a football card, and the fourth largest sum fetched by a sports card all time. Myron, it just seems like this guy can't do anything unless it is overwhelmingly rich.
He's amazing. He's an owner of multiple teams, owns the Royals, sports teams, soccer teams. And then here he is attached to the most expensive card in the history of football. I will say, Mike, I'm a little surprised, right, that a current player has the most expensive card of all time. Like, you think back to a Joe Montana or someone like that. Is there a card out there that would fetch more money? But it just says a lot about the Patrick Mahomes brand.
I mean, we already saw another no-look pass coming from Chiefs practice earlier today between Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. So maybe it's just because they know, like a fine wine, this guy is only continuing to go stock up around the league here. So $4.3 million. Man. The other interesting part about this for me, Myron, is I have to imagine I like the feel of an actual book in my hands crowd feels really good about this, as NFTs had become so much of the news around sports and collectibles in here that people could stand up and go, see, a good old-fashioned cardboard card still fetching top dollar at the market.
Yeah, what do you do with it, though, Mike? I mean, you can't bring it out at parties. You're worried about somebody taking it or something, right? So what do you do with the Patrick Mahomes card? Where do you put it?
Myron, I have quietly asked that question for a long time of the NFT people, of the trading card people. I don't understand it. Were you a guy that collected trading cards as a kid? Because that was never me.
When I was like 7, and I was over it when I was like 8, you know? But so I don't know where you put a $4.3 million card. Like, do you say, hey, come see it in my house? Is it at a vault? Like, what do you do with it? I don't know.
I don't know. After you pay $4.3 million for something, I always think of two things, which is either one, that's such an inconsequential amount of money to you that you can spend the funny money on something like this and maybe just throw it in a drawer. Or number two, you have made a horrible mistake with your finances and now have to find a way to turn this into the centerpiece of what remains of your home after that.
Yeah, you got to figure something out, man, because you can't just be putting it out there like that.
By the way, speaking of figuring something out here, something to keep in mind as we look forward towards tomorrow. How about this from Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL reporter? Sean Payton on wide receiver Michael Thomas's surgery, which took place in June despite the injury occurring last season. He said, quote, it's disappointing. We would have liked for that to have happened earlier, and quite frankly, it should have. Mickey Loomis, their GM, said it was a collective decision. It does not sound that way, Myron, so we may be due for another player at the podium tomorrow.
Seems like a bunch of headlines like this have followed Michael Thomas since he got paid.
I say another player who certainly in the last couple of years, you're right, have not been kind to public perception-wise around what's been going on here. So we will keep an eye on that, the continued fallout from Aaron Rodgers, and much more. We've also got the NBA draft coming up tomorrow. Myron, we appreciate you hanging out with us as always, man.
Thanks, man.
Awesome. All right, guys, coming up next, stick around here on ESPN Radio. We've got an AL East battle as the Red Sox host the Blue Jays. Keep it here. We'll tell you that next here. Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Mutt. Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.